Would you open your Bibles, please, at the Epistle to the Philippians and chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were all also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now God will add his blessing to his word, and we will read a little more later on. This little letter of Paul to the Philippian saints has been sometimes called Paul's sweetheart epistle. Now the reason for that is that as you read it, you will find that there are more terms of endearment in its verses than in any other New Testament book. Paul seems to take a special delight in writing to the Christians at Philippi and encouraging them in the Lord Jesus. There are only four chapters in it, and those four chapters revolve around a portrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Christian experience and Christian life should always have Christ as its centre. Now it has been thought of after this fashion. In chapter 1 we have Christ, the believer's life. In chapter 2 it is Christ, the believer's pattern. In chapter 3 it is Christ, the believer's object. And in chapter 4 Christ is the believer's strength. Now the effect that has in viewing the Lord Jesus in that way upon a Christian is, in chapter 1, Christ the believer's life cultivates the devoted mind. In chapter 2, Christ the believer's pattern develops the humble mind. Chapter 3, Christ the believer's object develops the mature mind. And in chapter 4, Christ the believer's strength develops the contented mind. Well, it's chapter 4 that we're going to look at this morning. The thought of the contented mind and Christ the believer's strength. Well, it commences with Paul exhorting some in that little assembly, and by the way, some have said concerning this, it is the good advice of Paul the Aged. I don't know whether you listen to those who are a little older than yourself, and sometimes there's the tendency to brush such advice on one side, but it is often good advice when such are older than you in the Lord. And Paul certainly is compressing much of his Christian experience in these words which follow. It is the advice of Paul the Aged which is worth listening to. Because after talking a little to one and another in this assembly at Philippi, he then goes on to speak of the art of Christian living. If we're going to live for Christ, we need to know the art of it. And that comes now from Paul himself. Matter of fact, if I were to give a title for my message this morning, it would be those few words in verse 12, where Paul says, I am instructed. I am instructed. More literally, those words should read, I have learned the secret. And it's the secret that Paul the Aged is revealing. I have learned the secret, says he, concerning Christian living. Well, this is the secret of it. First of all, in verse 4, he commences by saying, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Now, there it is, point number 1. The Christian life needs to be lived in a settled attitude of joy. Now, come what may, sadnesses, problems, anxieties, troubles, there needs to always be a full flow of joy in the Lord. No matter what comes into the Christian experience, we need to have that attitude of heart which will thank God always for all things. It's true, isn't it, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And this is the chapter of strength. It's the chapter which leads to contentment. If we can give thanks in everything, that leads to a contentment which carries us on till we see the Lord Jesus in the glory land. And then sure it is that we shall be contented. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. While I'm talking to you like that, and looking at your faces, of course, I'm reminded a little of that boy who one day on one of the beaches in England, I think it was Blackpool or somewhere, was stroking the nose of a donkey on the beach. The old donkey was giving rides up and down the beach, and the little boy was quite intrigued by the donkey. And he stroked his long nose and he said, oh, you're a lovely donkey. You'd make such a lovely Christian. You've got such a long face. Well, the little boy, you know, was entirely wrong. Entirely wrong. A Christian shouldn't have a long face if he's going to rejoice in the Lord always. I well remember an experience of mine in Launceston. I better not give you too many hints or you might come up with some answers there, but I was in a brother's home and he was chatting away and he said, Billy said, I wonder if you can identify me from this picture. And he went away and pulled out an old Sunday school picture, and there he was in white flannels and so on, and had been taken all 50 years before. He was a fairly elderly saint. And I looked at this picture and I puzzled over it, and of course I couldn't pick him out. It was hopeless. And then he said, I'll give you a hint, Bill. He said, look for somebody there who's got a coffee pot face. Well, I found him straight away. There he was, sitting in the front row with a big long face, and he looked as though he was the unhappiest man at the picnic. He said, that's right. But he said, you know, I've got a teapot face now. And sure enough, he had. Well, now, that's the way a Christian should be. It's not a matter of the coffee pot, it's the matter of the teapot of rejoicing in the Lord always. Now then, that leads on then to verse 5, where Paul says, let your moderation be known unto all men. That word moderation is the word yieldedness. Let your yieldedness be known unto all men. If you like, let your considerateness, there's such a word, be known unto all men. The idea is this. it is possible for us to have our rights and to be determined to stick to our rights come what may. Now that is not Christian. Let your yieldedness be known unto all men. And if we're going to really cultivate the art of Christian living, we have to cultivate the art of yielding irrespective of our rights. Let your yieldedness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now we've been delighting this morning in the fact that the Lord is coming soon. He is, isn't he? Praise his name. At any moment the Lord may come, and we need to live in the light of that. But that's not what Paul is saying here. He says the Lord is at hand, and he means the Lord is at your elbow. Now, just there, you see, that's pretty close to me, isn't it? My elbows, they sort of stayed at my sides, and they just couldn't be closer. Now, that's where the Lord is, to every believer. Wherever we go, in effect, we take the Lord with us. Whatever we do, the Lord is there to see it. Whatever we say, the Lord is there to hear it. He is our constant companion. The Lord is at hand. To cultivate the art of living as a Christian, we need to remember that every morning, as we lift our heads from our pillow, and keep it in mind until we put them back again in the evening. The Lord is with us through every day, and if we love the Lord, we'll want to please the Lord in our conduct throughout that day. So then, we rejoice in the Lord. We let our yieldedness be known, and we remember that the Lord Jesus is right there by our side. Now, verse 6 is very practical. Paul says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, you see the play on words there, careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But first of all, be careful for nothing. Please don't get the wrong idea. Paul is not saying, Christian, be careless. There is no room for carelessness in the Christian faith. What Paul is saying is this, Christian, be carefree. Be carefree. The Lord is able to carry the burdens. The Lord understands our problems. The Lord can come into every situation. Therefore, let us cast all our care upon him, as Peter says, for he careth for you. Now, that's the art of Christian living. Not fretting, not worried sick about and things which may happen today or tomorrow. Some even worry themselves sick about what might happen next year or the year after or 10 years hence. The Lord could well be here before this day is out, let alone a day 10 years hence. Be careful for nothing. Be free of care, for the Lord is able to undertake for every one of us. But rather, in everything, that is, in all the problems and the perplexities and the trials, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Christian does not ignore his Lord. The Christian does not ignore his Savior. The Christian does not simply accept salvation and then go glibly on his or her own way, trying to battle things out by themselves and trying to force the Christian life. That's not the way of it. The Lord knows all about us. Of course he does. But he still requires us to acknowledge his presence and his power and his willingness to bless. And so, Paul says, bring the Lord into every situation. Now maybe some of us here have only been saved for a very short time. Let me emphasize it. From this time forward, bring the Lord into every situation. Discuss the matters with him. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. And not just a matter of asking, asking, asking either. There's much to thank God for. And let your requests be made known unto the Lord with thanksgiving. And that will help you to be glad in the Lord, as we have said a few minutes ago. Now then, that leads on to verse 7. And we're still discussing the art of Christian living. Paul says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, we have peace with God through believing, that peace with God coming through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. But here it's different. This is the peace of God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding is something to be daily enjoyed by every Christian in communion with the Lord Jesus. I love to alter those words to give the to my mind, a better understanding of them. If only I could fix it in your mind, coming here this morning would be well worthwhile. Now here it is, and the glad tranquility of God, which passes all thinking power, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Have you got it? And the glad tranquility of God, which passes all thinking power, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The thought is this, that the Christian can let his or her mind range in any direction as far as possible. But the peace and the tranquility of God goes beyond it. Our capacity, our thinking power can never exceed the tranquility that God can give if we're in communion and fellowship with him, if we're resting in him. His tranquility can extend and extend in every circumstance in which we may find ourselves. Now you'll notice how Paul is not only speaking about our hearts, but also our minds. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts, that's your compassions, your affections, but also your minds through Christ Jesus. Now the mind is immensely important. Your mind can make or mar your Christian experience. We need to be exceedingly careful about that which our minds are centre upon. Now, Paul says a little further down in verse 9, for instance, and I'm coming back to verse 8 in a moment, the end of verse 7, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Or the end of verse 8 says, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now there it is. Our minds in verse 7, at the end of verse 8, think on these things. Now what do we train our minds upon? What do we train them on? Sometimes you can't prevent a thought coming into your mind, you know, but you can prevent it from staying there. And you can seek the Lord's help in dismissing that thought which is not glorifying to him nor helpful to your Christian life. Now here it is. Finally, brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, that is, whatsoever things lead to true speaking. whatsoever things are honest, that is, whatsoever things lead to self-respect, whatsoever things are just, that is, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are pure, needs no elaborating, whatsoever things are lovely, that is, of gracious, whatsoever things are gracious, whatsoever things are of good report, that is, whatsoever things are of winning speech. Paul says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, they're the things to exercise and control our minds. Have you got them? Whatsoever things lead to true speaking, to self-respect, things that are right, things that are pure, things that are gracious, and things that lead to winning speech, these things we think upon. Now, verse 9, Paul says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, in verse 8, it's think on these things. In verse 9, it's do them. Think and do. That's Christian living. Think and do. Christianity is not only in books, you know. Christianity is in boots. And those boots need to be used in the service of the Lord. Think and do. That's the essence of Christian living. We read this morning, didn't we, from the Acts, A-C-T-S, the Acts of the Apostles. And we need some Acts of the Christians today also. Now Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, that's verse 11, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That's the art of Christian living also. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Let me tell you about the discontented farmer. Maybe you can identify with him this morning. There was a farmer in his field, and it was a lovely sunny day, and a friend walked along the country road and he called out to the farmer, lovely day, farmer. Mmph, said the farmer, no good for the tomatoes. And so the young man hurried on his way. A week or so later it was raining cats and dogs, and the young man was hurrying along the same road, and there was the same farmer yonder in the field, and he called out to him as he went past, good day, farmer. Lovely day for the tomatoes. Hmph, said the farmer. No good for the potatoes. Right. So there it is, you see. No matter what sort of a day it was, it just couldn't please the farmer. I don't know whether he was a Christian or not. I guess he wasn't. Or at least I guess he wasn't taking a notice of Paul's advice. In whatsoever state I am, says Paul, I have learned therewith to be content. You see, Paul has got the secret. I am instructed. I have learned the secret. And verse 13 is the key verse of the chapter. If you're looking for a key verse, it's verse 13. Paul says, and we can add and join with him, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, this is practical this morning. It's not impossible. We're not theorizing. This is something which can be experienced in the Christian life. The oldest manuscripts put it this way. I can do all things in him who giveth me strength. Now, I recommend that to you. I can do all things in him who giveth me strength. Christ our strength is the theme of the chapter. This is the very key verse of it. It is in Christ that we are able to live to his glory. Well, I said we'd read further, but the old clock on the wall there has said no. Brother, you stop at that point. So I will obey the clock and stop at that point, exhorting you once again to fix your minds and your hearts and your occupation upon the Lord Jesus himself. That's the secret of Christian living. Loving the Lord and seeking to live to please the Lord. And you won't go far wrong. Let us pray. Our Father, we just commend ourselves to thee now as we separate. We thank thee for the privilege of being able to remember the Lord this morning, to break this bread and to drink this wine in memory of himself, and to demonstrate again the binding nature of this new covenant which we have with thyself. We pray thee that this day and each succeeding day may be lived for thy glory until the Lord doth come. Help us to learn these secrets of Christian living, and help us not only to think upon them, but to do them. Help us to practice what we know. So we commit one and another to thee, seeking thy divine blessing, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.